She was thankful. She had a new puppy. But puppies need care. They need food. They need to be taken for walks. They need to be trained. Somebody has to clean up for a while. Whose job is that? Is she really thankful? Is she thankful enough to take care of her gift? This week I stopped in to see Michael, see how he was doing after his surgery. And I found a very thankful man. He's thankful for the doctor's ability to help and relieve the pain that he's had for I don't know how many years. But the surgeon gave very precise instructions. He's to start rehabilitation right away. Now I can imagine Michael thinking, well, I've just been under the knife. That's not a good way to get my strength back. I need to take it easy for a while. I really should rest. But is he going to take care of the gift that he's been given? Well, Jennifer says he's going to wear out the rug around the table. So it sounds like he's taking care of the gift that he's given. He's truly thankful for the gift. And as we read this, early in the Old Testament, we find that the children of Israel, I was curious growing up, why were there only kids? The Hebrew people often talk about, there were psalms about the gifts of God. Let me read one of them. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the peoples, a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. The law of Moses has some very specific things about the care of the earth. The command to let the land remain idle every 7 years in Leviticus 25:26. I would call that as a rudimentary type of crop rotation, we call it today. Farmers know that helps take care for the land, helps to rejuvenate, helps to remedy the depletion that certain plants have for the land. So God was saying through Moses, take care of the land. Psalm 100 is a celebration of God's creation. And let me read that, it's familiar. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pastures. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now that is more the image we often have of Thanksgiving. We sing. We say thank you. We rejoice in our gifts. But what about the care of the gifts? Do we see that as an essential part of Thanksgiving? And especially in our day, earth care has become a political question. Group A says, you have to do this. Group B says, no, you have to do this. And group C says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But care of the earth is a religious question. It has to do with discipleship. It has to do with our relationship to God and His creation. The land has to rest every 7 years. What does that have to do with worship? Well, worship is care. Deuteronomy 23:13 maybe a strange thing to find in the Bible. I should have brought some videos along so we can see what it says. Anyone know what it says to do? Deuteronomy 23:13. Well, let me read it for you. Designate a place outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. As part of your equipment, have something to dig with. And when you relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement. Surprised to find that in the Bible? Well, evidently God thought it was important. Take care of the earth. Take care of this gift. Now, today perhaps it would say, pick up your trash. Don't throw bottles and cans out of the car windows. But of course, Moses had no car, no bottles, no cans. So he didn't mention roadside litter when he gave instructions to the people. We recognize it. That's a religious question. It's not just a social question. Although God created the universe and retains ultimate ownership for it, we sing, the Lord is the creation, the earth belongs to the Lord. He gave responsibility to another part of His creation. Often we misread it. Let me put in a parenthesis here. One of the songs we sang said something about man's creation. Now we all know that in the Genesis 2 account, woman was created from man. And so that has implications. But how easily we forget, what was man created from? Dirt. So therefore he must be subject to dirt. What does care of God's creation mean? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. The heavens are yours, and also the earth. We read the verse in the beginning of Genesis. The first story we read in the Bible is about the good creation that God has made. And then we read, and man is placed over the creation. And being placed over means now we're in charge. It's ours now. We can do with it what we want. How can we read that into the Genesis account? He's talking about mankind as to till the ground, take care of it. Now, we might like to find... We might make a statement, but there aren't that many statements about what do we do in caring for the earth. Well, we have many more issues, problems, ways of not taking care of the earth than they had in Moses' day. as I said, no cars with their pollution, no paper to throw away. Paper was very costly, and instead of throwing away the paper, the papyrus, they covered it over and wrote again on the same paper without wonderful erasers like we have today. So we can't say now we find what specific instruction of what we do with the world today. The Psalm says, "The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to mankind." Thanksgiving is caregiving. Would Kaylee be showing that she is really thankful if she forgot to feed the puppy, or forgot to take him for a walk, or forgot to give him a bath when he needed it? We say, she wasn't very thankful. What about us when we mistreat, misuse, do not take care of the gift? And we need to say it is a gift of our wonderful earth from the Lord. There are comments about care of animals, care of all the living. Not specific instruction, we would say, well, it's rudimentary kind of care. But let's think about it. How many people were on the earth in that day? Did they understand what, or how many? Use a different example. We have been able to make changes to how we use the earth. When I was, well, back a generation, my dad had a coal mine on the property just for their own use. I saw a picture of it. I wasn't around at that point, but he'd go out and dig the surface layer of coal, bring it in to burn. When I was about 8 years old, it was my task to shovel the coal into the furnace to heat the house. And if the house got cold, it was my fault. How do you heat with coal now? You know what coal is, right? Okay, we have made changes. I saw, I was looking up and saw Pittsburgh. I grew up in Pennsylvania, by the way, in coal mine country. And many of my uncles were coal miners and paid the consequences of that kind of work. Heard of black lung disease. Well, we've changed. We do still use some coal for electric plants, but even that is going down. We can make changes. We can take care of the earth. One time, one of the in-law in the family needed a car. Didn't have transportation. So I found out one of the faculty from Goshen was selling a car, so I went and talked to him about it, and we bought it and gave it to him. It wasn't a brand new one. And I cautioned him that keep checking the oil, because it does use oil. Well, one time they took a trip to Chicago and came back and said, "The car doesn't sound right." It didn't run very long after that. Didn't take care of the oil. Was he thankful for the gift? Well, maybe he just forgot. But if we not only use but abuse the gift, that's not part of being thankful. One more example. I've had a heart murmur for years. In fact, I was sleeping in bed by Betty could hear it. And I had a cardiologist who asked me to come in every 6 months to check what was happening. And finally she said, have to do something. So we left New Mexico and came up to Fort Wayne to the Luther Heart Hospital and had a repair. Now I'm part cow, so watch me if I get too close to the green grass. I had a valve replaced. But now the doctor told me I need to do therapy. I need to do exercises. And if I, every time I go to the dentist, I need to take four antibiotic pills so that the heart is not affected. It doesn't suffer any consequences. Well, I'm thankful for the gift of a repaired heart. But if I forget about the antibiotic, you'd say I was crazy. You would say, what's going through your head? Did you lose your mind when you lost your heart? But what do we do with the earth? What do we do with the earth? Well, we already see some of these careless kids throwing out the trash. Not these kids aren't. But we don't. If we don't care for it. So what do we do about it? I'm glad you asked. Could you pass out those booklets? Yes. I don't have one for everyone, but at least every household could have some. I almost ran out of printer ink. Or at least the blue I'm about out of. You can see why. And let's just think about one factor. Now, anybody see one of these? Yeah, you have, so don't. What do you suppose this is for? I have an idea. Okay, what is it for? Barbara? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a straw, and it has a little brush to clean the straw and reuse it. One of the crucial things in our day is one-use plastics. When I was a kid, two of my favorite toys were a little metal truck, I don't know, it was probably about that long, and a wagon. That's probably the two toys I played with the most and when I was preschool and even into school. I converted the wagon, made it into a little cart with tractor-like controls on it, so I used it for a long time. But how was that different from plastic? Well, by now, that metal truck has rusted away and disintegrated. The wagon was made of wood, so that also is long gone. How long does a plastic straw last?
Forever.
They don't rust. They don't decompose. They don't degenerate, turn into something healthy. And they said in a few number of years, I should have looked it up, In a few years, we're going to have as much plastic as fish in the ocean. Our plastic is now washing up on all the islands. They're not responsible, but they're collecting the plastic that we're producing. Well, that's part of the day in which we live. Well. I was only going to talk about one factor. These are problems that are causing damage to where we live. And let's go back to plastic. It's in the Well, there are things we can do about it. We can stop you. Why do we need a straw to drink water? I can't figure it out. But we do. We go to a restaurant, we get a glass of water, and we get a straw. And right now, they're plastic straws. When I was growing up, there were paper straws. Paper disintegrates. Plastics do not. So we can start by one person. Oh, better than that. We can start with 25 people here. And there are a number of suggestions here for each of these pollutants that that we're facing. For example, cut back on single-serving plastics. What are some single-use, not serving, use, what are some single-use plastic that we use? What?
Cups.
I asked Betty this week, I said, can't we buy paper cups anymore? I mean, we always use paper cups. She said, yes. She went in the cupboard, pulled out a package, and I said, those aren't paper, they're plastic. And sure enough, they were. Styrofoam is so cheap to use, but so difficult to get rid of. Now I'm stepping on all my everybody's toes, and I'm even managing to step on my own because they are convenient. It's convenient to buy water in a one-use bottle. What we started doing is saving them. Then we go on a trip, we put the water in the bottle and freeze it, and then we have water to go. And we haven't generated any additional plastic use. Well, that's enough. I hope you would use this and find out what's one thing you can start doing this week. In fact, man, I'm not leading the service next week, but could you let me ask what you discovered that you can do? Can one person make a difference? Well, one of the threats that we had, when was it, in the 90s, was the ozone hole over Antarctica. Ozone was breaking up and now letting in damaging sun rays. We did something about it. We changed our refrigerant. Now, it's a little more expensive now, but that doesn't break down the ozone. And now you don't hear about the ozone hole anymore. What would it be like if we did not hear about some of the other damaging things that are happening on Earth? Let me read a prayer from one of the church leaders from a Pacific island. The damage is at our doorstep, flooding our homes, damaging our houses, ravaging our plantations and crops. The problem is all the pollution we make, how we desecrate our environment with no respect for it as a gift of God for us to be good stewards of. How can we go and preach good news to the whole of creation? Imagine if we took this great commission seriously. Shall we pray? Dear God, the problem is greater than any one of us. And so we become discouraged. But it's a problem that each one of us can help change. Help us to continue to learn how to care for the great gift of your creation. In Jesus' name, amen.